Friday, July 1st, 2011, marks the Feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, a feast that since 2002 has also been the World Day of Prayer for priests. The founder and president of the Christopher Inn International, Joan Johnson, was recently here in Rome to present the CI International project, which is for a completely lay-funded and operated house of retreat and ongoing formation for Catholic clergy from throughout the world. Chris Altieri asked Joan to share her thoughts about why it is important for laity to support priests with prayer.
That knowledge or that sense of supporting and praying for priests fell out of our consciousness for a while. I have to laugh. I have my mother years ago who a priest asked us at a retreat to pray for him at the end of the retreat, and my mother couldn't imagine why. She thought all priests were holy and they didn't need our prayers. So I think there was that sort of view of the priesthood, and certainly as a holy calling. But, you know, we've seen certainly the need to pray for our priests, especially in the last couple of decades. The priests have suffered terribly through different scandals, everything else.
Well, priests, they have an enormous responsibility for governing, for sanctifying, et cetera.
Yes.
And we wouldn't want the president of the United States to have to discharge his office without the support of our prayers, a fortiori.
Right, absolutely. And I think that the other thing, too, is we forget that the priests, not only they are pastoral leaders and our the shepherds of the flock, but they are also like Marines. They're out on the front line, so they're taking on a society in a sense that is no longer supportive in many ways of Christianity and Catholicism in particular at times. So the priests need tremendous support. And, of course, the most important, the most crucial support is always prayer. It's always seeking God on their behalf and asking for blessing that they, in turn, become united with him and become holy and saintly priests.
Praying for priests is not the only thing that you do. You're working, and you have been for more than a decade now, on a project called the Christopher Inn International. What is the Christopher Inn International and where did it come from?
The Christopher Inn International is or will be a place situated in Ireland, on the western side of Ireland, serving priests and bishops worldwide and serving them in their four areas of formation, the human, spiritual, intellectual, and pastoral. It will give priests an opportunity to come together, build fraternity, also help them with their ongoing personal formation. The programs of formation will be done by bishops and priests and other experts in various fields that are particular to priestly ministry. So the organization itself, the place itself, will be lay-run and lay-supported. So it gives lay people an opportunity to express their love and their support for priests, for bishops worldwide. It's a tangible witness to that love and support. The idea began in 1997 when I went to my pastor at the time explaining a concern I had for a young priest, and young priests in particular. This young priest, a very good priest, left the priesthood in 1 year after his ordination. And I went to our pastor, who is older and wiser, a very holy man, and asked him, couldn't he and his priest friends do something for the younger generation to mentor them? Too often they were put in parishes with very little time and priestly experience, just out of a tremendous need.
Well, this is an interesting point, and in connection with our talk about praying for priests, one of the reasons that we do need to pray for priestly vocations is that things are spread awfully thin, aren't they?
Right. I have a brother who's a bishop, and in his diocese, it isn't unusual for a priest to have two, three, or even four parishes, and that's exhausting. That's a lot put on that priest's shoulders. So, yes, the vocations, we need good vocations. We need good, healthy priests. Good, healthy priests will bring about good vocations, as do good, strong families, and, of course, all through prayer. That's where it began back in 1997. After a short period of time, it became clear that our Lord was asking me to step forward and do something for priests, and that's when this concept began. It's been a long, slow process over 13 years now.
Now, it sounds, though, from what you've been telling me and from what I've read about it, that part of the Christopherian International is it takes a little bit of the priest of the, you know, the retreat house, something of the formation center, something of the place of spiritual repose, if you will, and brings all of these elements together. This is the idea anyway. But how does this all work itself out? How does it hang together?
All right. On the place that we're looking at, or place that we have in mind in Ireland, has the capacity to receive over 200 priests at a time. So it can be multiple coursework. We're thinking in the morning there'd be 2 hours of coursework for the priests. And like I say, we can have multiple courses going on at once. The rest of the day, they're free. They're free to recreate with their brother priests, and there are plenty of things on site for that, as well as touring the western side of Ireland. In the evening, the presenters, those teaching the courses, would be available in a very casual setting to discuss whatever is on the priest's mind. So priests taking different courses could cross over and talk to a different presenter, you know, different coursework that's of interest to him. The other thing, too, is we would have the facilities and the place for priests who would like to take sabbaticals for 3 to 6 months. So we can have sabbaticals. We can also have retreats going on, or private retreats. So there'd be plenty of opportunity for all kinds of priestly gatherings and coursework and just recreation. But the big thing, I think, and the thing I see personally, is it gives priests from all over the world, priests and bishops, time to enjoy each other in a non-institutional setting. There's no accreditation. It's simply receiving what they need to be better and well-rounded men and priests all the way around, but gives them the time to build up fraternity in a very natural setting and in a very natural way.
Well, yeah, you mentioned courses, and it made me think of sort of back to school, but that's not really it, is it, at all? It's informal lectures. And who'd be giving those, by the way?
We'll be working with a bishop in the States who will oversee the development of the program. We'll be working with someone at the Gregorian University here in Rome, another priest that's involved with developing formation programs. So there are already plenty of experts in areas of priestly ministry who are out there worldwide. So we would pull in the cream of the crop to teach these courses. But like you say, it's not back to school. This is the classes, in one sense, would be very comfortable, very sort of conversational, and very relaxed. No accreditation. There's no need to cut a grade. They simply receive what they need. So if we had, let's say, a priest who is a chaplain, does chaplaincy work at a hospital, he may be interested in a course on medical ethics and what are the latest. We'd also, through Fiat Web, a website exclusively for priests and bishops, we'd have the opportunity to connect them with institutions that can answer their questions immediately. So it's connecting priests out in the parish or wherever with the information they need, both on site in Ireland, but also through the website 24/7. So it's a tremendous sort of multi-pronged approach to support priests, but also we want to keep it relaxed and beautiful.
Anyone who follows the Holy Father, for example, you know, with any degree of seriousness, the need for ongoing, even lifelong priestly formation is something to which he returns in virtually all of his ad limina speeches to the bishops when they come in.
As we all know, the spiritual life, even for a lay person, is an ongoing process. It's a constant dying to one's self and drawing into this love and tremendous love relationship with God. Well, how much more so for our priests, that they have the spiritual tools they need, they have the pastoral, everything else they need, to be well-rounded, well-formed, and ever-increasingly so. So I think for the bishops, they have their responsibility to form their priests. The lay people have their responsibility to support that formation. So we're not taking in or stepping in the on the turf of the bishop. There's an ongoing personal formation that every priest is responsible for. We're simply making that personal formation easier for him to acquire. His time is very, very limited. When I was growing up, there were 3 to 4 priests in each parish. So they had the support, they had fraternity, they had mentoring.
And that ratio is inverted, you were saying earlier. There are dioceses in the country where you have 3 or 4 parishes to the priest now. Not to put too fine a point on it, the cost of getting this up and running, let alone the cost of running it, is not indifferent.
Right. The project is a large project. As I mentioned, the capacity would be for over 200 priests. It's a very beautiful, strikingly beautiful piece of property we're particularly interested in. There are several, but there's one in particular. It's strikingly beautiful. The thing is, we're talking about lay people worldwide. There are 1.2 billion Catholics in the world, and we have, of those Catholics in the world, 0.3% are priests, diocesan priests in particular in this case. And that's a very small, minute number of people who are serving that mass of people. So we're asking the lay people to step forward and support their priests for pennies. If we look at the numbers, no, not all 1.2 billion would give to this. But for those who can give to it and can support it, this is an opportunity to tangibly express, again, their support for priests. The other thing, too, is once we have the acquisition of the property and the place is up and going, it will financially support itself. We're asking the people in the pew to send their priest as a gift certificate or whatever. They can send their priest to the Christopherian International as a gift, so Father can experience the brotherhood and fraternity of priests worldwide, and also partake of ongoing personal formation in an absolutely beautiful, strikingly beautiful setting. Just to give you an idea, in my parish, there are around 700 families, and if they wanted to send our pastor to the Christopherian International, it would cost the family about $2 a piece to send him there for one, once in a year.
Well, you're here in Rome, and you have you've pitched this, as it were, to the Congregation for Bishops and the Congregation for Clergy. Can you tell us how they received it?
They received it very well. It was an extremely good meetings in both congregations. It was exciting to share it here in Rome, right in the heart of our Catholic faith, the place that represents all that we believe. It's a very exciting opportunity to be here and to share it. So we were received very, very well, and we're encouraged by what we heard. And the more we share it, the more encouraged we are with it. And it's just nice to see it so well received.
The Christopher Inn International is on the World Wide Web. You can search for them there, Christopher Inn International, or you can go direct to their website, www.christopherinn.org.